Hello again. I'm still joined on the line by Karen Coleman and Seana Murray. Karen, just I want to have a look, obviously, at the left in the European Parliament, the S&D group and other left groups. I mean, the polls are indicating that there will be a large surge on the right, the hard right and even the far right. But what are the prospects like for the left-leaning groups in the Parliament?
Well, they are going to take a hit. I mean, they're not going to be decimated. In fact, Colm, I think the party that is going to take maybe the strongest hit will be the Green group, the Greens in the European Parliament. The left group, GUI NGL, it's called there, the acronyms, is going to see, according to these polls of polls and Politico's most recent polls of polls, will take a loss from maybe 37 from the 2019 elections to 32, but the Greens are predicted to take a stronger hit. The Socialists and the Democrats, they will take a hit. Maybe they'll lose something like over 20 seats again, and Renew Europe, which is more centre, that will take a hit as well. So certainly the polls are saying right now that the left parties and the centre-left are going to take a hit. But I think the Greens in particular are going to feel the backlash from voters because of the tougher European Green Deal laws that have come into play. And I think they're going to find that their numbers will certainly be reduced. And again, that is going to have an impact on potentially the rest of the legislation that's still to come and to be proposed on the European Green Deal.
All right. So, Seana, what would your money be on in terms of looking at the prospects for the left in the coming parliament?
Well, actually, the S&D aren't going to due to lose that many seats. In some countries, they'll still go up. I don't know in Ireland, but certainly across. I mean, the S&D looks like if it's not the ECR, they'll be the third largest party. And so, I mean, the problem is that these have been the largest groups that have been in power for decades, and you still see the type of problems that we do, whether it's national issues around housing and the EU's not doing enough. I think part of the problem is that the EU is very badly communicated, and people, as we hear there, they vote on the basis of it being a midterm election for President Macron rather than something that the European Commission can do. And we learned throughout the Brexit debate how badly characterise the European Union can be. Some people say that they want less Europe, but in fact then they demand that the EU does more. And I think the S&D in particular, which is the Labour group, the Social Democrats, they've done quite a lot throughout these 5 years for workers' rights. But they don't really get to communicate that. And so if you're a young person voting and you're veering towards the far right or the hard right because your lot isn't good, because you can't get a house, because your prospects aren't good, then the hard right and far right actually are not going to help you, but right, they're the loudest voice. And also the other point I think is important to make is that, you know, a lot of these groups, they're quite fringy. They don't really bring a lot to the table when they go to their various groups. I mean, Nigel Farage was in the Fisheries Commission committee for a long time, but never showed up, for example. But they're very loud when it comes to criticising the EU, but they bring very little to the table when it comes to actual policy.
Okay, well, I mean, one of the countries where the fortunes of the S&D group is going to be Germany, where Olaf Scholz of the SPD is in power, and that's the party that belongs to that group in the European Parliament. And earlier this evening, I spoke to Kate Brady. She's a reporter with the Washington Post in Berlin. And Germany has the largest number of seats up for grabs in any EU country. That's 96 seats at stake. And I began by asking her how they're elected and what electoral system is used in Germany. It's the largest number of seats of any EU country, 96 seats at stake. But how are the Germans going to elect them? What electoral system do they use?
So essentially in Germany, the MEPs are elected through the direct proportional representation system. So each party has a list of candidates, and then each party gets the number of MEPs equivalent to their share of the overall vote. And so the German party with the most seats in the European Parliament right now is the Conservative Christian Democrats, or the CDU. They currently have 23 of the 96 seats that Germany has.
And to what degree, the CDU that you mentioned there, they're not in power at the moment. They're on the opposition benches. To what degree are the Germans going to the polls to pass a verdict on the current government, or how engaged are they in electing to the European Parliament?
This is very much becoming a kind of a test the temperature of the coalition right now. But for months, it's been very clear that the governing three parties, as Chancellor Olaf Scholz, Social Democrats, the Greens, and the business-friendly Free Democrats, are not doing well. They're all currently polling behind the Conservative CDU, who are in a strong first position, followed in second position by the far-right AfD. And it's, there's a real split in Germany when it comes to interest in the European election. But you see that in past turnouts as well, that it's never really been comparable to the turnout for federal elections. I think it was about 64% 5 years ago, compared to, it was definitely in the 70s was the turnout in 2021's federal elections here. So there's kind of, it's a very 50-50 divide when it comes to interest in European parliamentary elections.
Now, the AfD party that you mentioned there, the far-right party, have been the subject of recent controversies in Germany. So is there a sense then in these elections that there's maybe more at stake than there has been in other European elections?
Absolutely. There is a real concern here that the far-right AfD could indeed scoop up a lot more seats than the current 10 that they have. And of course, as you mentioned, there have been a number of scandals, whether it's earlier on in the year when it emerged that some senior AfD figures had met with far-right extremists to discuss a so-called re-migration plan of millions of people from Germany, were the AfD to ever come into power. And most recently this week, of course, as well, we had the AfD failed a second time to appeal a decision made by the German Domestic Intelligence Agency back in 2021 to put them under surveillance as what's described as a suspected far-right case. And the court basically said that the domestic intelligence agencies were allowed to continue doing so, which essentially means that they can, that the intelligence agency can spy on the AfD to assess whether or not they are indeed a confirmed extremist case, which would be the next step of designation.
And part of the case is, as you mentioned there, they had met with some whites, a part of the AfD had met with some white supremacist actors and had discussed this issue of re-emigration. This is a proposal, is it, to deport even German citizens if they had, if their ethnic origin was in a migrant community?
Yeah, exactly. And on top of that, also people that were deemed critical of AfD policy, and as a result of that, we saw thousands of people turning out on the streets calling for an outright ban of the AfD, which of course is a very, very drawn out process were that route ever to be taken, and also a potentially risky one as well. Experts have said that that the AfD could indeed exploit that if an attempt to ban the party wasn't successful in the end.
And in terms of major issues in Germany at the moment, what are they? What are the big concerns of German voters?
Well, the number one issue right now, at least according to recent polls and just from the general feeling in society right now, is very much migration. And we've seen that for many, many months now. On top of that, though, Germany, like a lot of other countries in Europe, has turned particularly inward looking in recent months. And that's largely down to the cost of living crisis as an overarching theme here, which is very much money and the wish for more money to be invested, particularly public spending in infrastructure, care for the elderly, schools, things like that. And so there is a real focus on those kind of domestic issues right now.
And has there been a backlash against the Greens in Germany? There was an issue around the type of fuel people were using to heat their homes and the progress or lack thereof in retrofitting and installing heat pumps.
Not so much. What's interesting is that of the three governing coalition parties, it's the Greens that have managed to stay quite stable compared to the 2021 election result. But there has certainly just been or what we're seeing is a backlash against the government as a whole. The party that's come off worse so far, at least in the polls, is the business-friendly Free Democrats, who actually hold the finance ministry right now. But we'll see if those polls are true in a few weeks.
Can you tell us about the intervention of some of Germany's biggest companies, including Volkswagen, BMW, Mercedes, Deutsche Bank, and Siemens, making a call, I suppose, for Germans to consider political stability, inward investment, and Germany's ability to attract a workforce from abroad?
I think it's a reflection really of the feeling right now of how seriously those votes that in that second polling position of the AfD is being taken. It's very unusual for German business leaders to speak out like that, but basically they've created a statement, an alliance of companies, including the likes of Deutsche Bank and Siemens, saying that they basically are warning people against voting for far-right parties, saying that it would be to the detriment of Germany, were that to be the case. And we saw a little bit of that earlier this year as well, after those nationwide protests against the AfD, with some business leaders warning against the effects of what could potentially be an isolationist policy, especially in terms of Germany's economics, if there were to be a far right or a stronger far right party in Germany, and that would also potentially turn people away, people, especially at a time when Germany is trying to attract more workers. But if you that they warned against voting in a party that is anti-migrant and and very much xenophobic, and this is at a time when Germany has a huge shortage of skilled workers as well. Experts estimate that Germany needs around 200,000 to 400,000 extra skilled workers a year, and this is very much seen as the biggest economic challenge in terms of Germany's growth in the coming years. And Germany has an extremely aging population, and so it's only going to become harder as these coming years go on, now that the boomer generation is very much heading towards or is already in retirement. And so Germany really needs those extra workers from abroad now.
Can I ask you then finally about the issue of war in the election? Ukraine and Germany's, I suppose, the level of support Germany has offered to Ukraine, the debate around that support, and then whether or not Israel's invasion of Gaza in response to the Hamas attacks is affecting the elections at all.
I think less so this year. As I say, it's the shift in Germany has become very much inward looking in recent months, but that's not to rule out that that will play a role for some voters.
And that was Kate Brady, the Washington Post reporter in Berlin, speaking to me a little earlier. Shona, Karen, I just want to go to you. We only have about a minute left. I just want to get, I suppose, a significant development in the election has been how young people will be when they vote. There's a number of countries, Germany, Austria, Belgium, Malta, have given 16 and 17-year-olds the vote. How is that likely to play out? I'll get your thoughts from each of you. Karen?
16, 17-year-olds, I think it's going to be very interesting. Some young voters who are being polled say, housing is a major issue. But then I also think the sort of Greta Thunberg effect may, in fact, lead to some interesting output from those young
All right.
voters, because she has really energized young voters. So I think it's very going to be very interesting to see what way they were going to vote.
Okay, Shona, briefly.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also the situation in Gaza, because we know that a lot more younger people in universities across Europe and the United States are quite incensed about this, much more than anyone in Brussels. And we'll see how that will play out, whether that will materialise within the election results.
Okay, my thanks to you both, Karen Coleman, Shona Murray. We'll take a break. We're back in a minute.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.